Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Hi, this is Pastor Vince. I'm going to welcome you to lesson number 13, which is chapter number 13 in your book. And we're going to be discussing today paragraph study. Now, the objectives of this particular lesson are as follows. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to explain how to do a paragraph study. You're going to do a paragraph study, create a paragraph chart to summarize your studies, and outline a paragraph in the Bible. And our memory verse for today is Psalms 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So as an introduction, you've learned how to survey a book of the Bible and study a chapter within that book. And when you studied a chapter, you divided it into paragraphs. Now you're going to learn how to study the paragraphs. An example of paragraph study is provided, and you're given the opportunity to do such a study in the four further study section of your textbook. So as far as paragraph study, first off, you do step number one, which is you do a chapter study. So as you learn, each chapter of the Bible is composed of paragraphs. Paragraphs are groups of verses about the same subject. Now, when the subject changes, a new paragraph begins, and as you study a chapter, you will note important paragraphs or paragraphs that seem to relate to one another. These are possibilities for paragraph studies. Step number two, observe the details. The paragraphs in a chapter can relate to each other in different ways, and here are some of the special things to observe as you study paragraphs. First off, the connectives. Words called connectives are very important. They reveal relationships within and between paragraphs. The word but is a connective and introduces a contrast. For example, in Jude 1:10, it says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But when they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." So there's a contrast in this paragraph. False teachers speak evil things they do not know, but they're also corrupt. They also corrupt the things that they do know. So the verse begins with the word but, which should make you look back at verse 9 to see what the contrast is. Another example is here is Jude 1:9. So you would go backwards from the but. "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not to bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." So in verse 10, contrast false teachers who speak evil of dignities with the archangel Michael. Even though he held a great position, he did not accuse the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The connective word or indicates a contrast. For example, in Ecclesiastes 12:14, it says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So other connective words to watch for are like and as. Instead of a contrast, these words show comparisons between things. For example, the following verse, Satan is compared to a lion. So it says in 1 Peter 5:8, "The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The word "and" is another connective, and it adds to what has just been stated. In Jude 1:8, it says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." The word "if" introduces a conditional statement. Now, many of the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament are stated this way. They tell what God will do if, on the condition that his people make a certain response. For example, we find that in Chronicles 7:14. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So the word "that" sets forth a purpose. It tells that something happened in order that a certain purpose would be accomplished. In Matthew 2:23, it says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that, it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. That was Matthew 2:23. So watch for the connecting words for, because therefore, these words introduce reasons and results. And we find that in Matthew 9:36. It says, but when he saw multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. So the words in, into, and with are also important connectives. They also indicate relationships between concepts. In Psalm 66:6, it says, he turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. So now that we've looked at connectives, now we're going to look at the general structure. So as you study paragraphs, observe the arrangement of ideas and how the verses relate to each other. Sometimes the author makes a general statement, then he explains it with examples. Other times he lists a series of ideas and then summarizes with a general statement. In the example given later in the chapter, you'll note that Jude wrote several paragraphs listing characteristics of false teachers, and he then gave Old Testament examples which illustrated what he was teaching. Another thing that you're going to find are repetitions. Each word in the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and when words or phrases are repeated, it's because they're especially important. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers to repeat words and phrases in order to fix them in your memory. The words, verily, verily, are an example of this. When Jesus preceded a statement with these words, it was like an announcer saying, may I have your attention, please? I have an important announcement to make. Study in detail any words, phrases, or verses that are repeated. Another thing we will look for is questions and answers. So it's important to observe questions and answers of the Bible. Often an author will introduce a subject by asking a question, and he will then explain this question and give answers which relate back to a question. A good example of this is in Romans 6. So if you read the entire chapter, note the questions in verses 1 through 3, and the answers develop throughout the rest of the chapter. Another thing to look for is introductions. Watch for paragraphs to introduce the subject that is to follow. For example, in the book of Jude, which you studied in the last chapter, verse 3, introduces the material as follows. In Jude 1:3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So the introductory paragraph explains the purpose of his writing. He's exhorting them to earnestly contend for the true faith. Now, the remainder of the chapter gives reasons for this exhortation. There are false teachers creeping into the church who are trying to turn them from the true faith. Another thing you want to look for are the summaries and conclusions. So be alert for paragraphs that summarize an entire passage, chapter, or even a book. For example, the book of Ecclesiastes contains one verse which summarizes the whole book. In Ecclesiastes, the writer has described his quest for life apart from God. His final conclusion is, and we find that in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, let us bear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Another thing you want to look for are progressions in thought. So when studying paragraphs, watch for progressions in thought and note the following paragraph. That's in 2 Peter 1:5-9. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So there is a definite progression in this passage. We are to add one thing to another until we become fruitful. Another thing to look for is literary form. Literary form refers to how a passage is written. Some passages are in a narrative or story form. This means they read like a story. Other paragraphs are in poetic form, like poems, and like the passages in the Book of Psalms. Some paragraphs are parables, which are short stories illustrating a spiritual truth, and some paragraphs are dramatic form. For example, the Song of Solomon contains dramatic as well as poetic form. So discourse form is much like a sermon. It is a series of paragraphs giving instruction on a certain subject. Another thing you want to look for are keywords. Identifying keywords will help you to understand the meaning of a paragraph. Keywords are those important to the meaning of the paragraph. Often, they are words which are repeated, especially note keywords which you do not understand. These words can be studied in a word study, and you'll learn how to do this later in the course. For example, read the following verse, which is in Jude 1:4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know what the word lasciviousness means? It's an important word in this paragraph because it describes the false teachers. So one of the characteristics is that they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. So this word is an example of a key word that you might want to study. Next, I want to discuss grammatical construction. The word grammar refers to parts of speech or words that fit together to make up sentences and paragraphs. So, watch for words which are called verbs. These are words that show action, telling what someone did in the past, is doing in the present, or will do in the future. They are also used in commands, such as in Mark 16:15. He says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So the words "go" and "preach" are action words. They are verbs. They are commands for us to do. So obey, a noun, is a word that names a person, place, or thing, and the words are in capitals below are nouns. So you find in Jude 1:1, it says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James." So all three of those are names. Nouns tell us who and what is involved and where the action took place. A pronoun is a word that replaces or stands for a noun. The words "him" or "her" are examples. Instead of saying, "The Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write the book," you could say, "The Holy Spirit inspired him to write the book." So the word "him" is a pronoun standing for the noun Jude. Adjectives and adverbs are important parts of speech also. Adverbs tell something about a verb. It tells you how something happened. For example, in the sentence, "He ran quickly," the word "quickly" is an adverb because it tells how he ran. An adjective describes a noun or a pronoun. So if we said Jude was tall, the word "tall" is an adjective which describes Jude. If you have not studied parts of speech before, this may seem confusing at first, but you're going to learn how to identify these as you practice. Parts of speech are important because they identify people, places, and things, and they tell you who did something, where, when, and why. They also tell how things were done and what was, is, or will be done, and they also provide descriptions and details which increase understanding on the subject matter. So step three is actually creating a paragraph study chart. So by studying paragraphs in detail, as described in step two, you will identify certain paragraphs that relate to each other. Their paragraph relation may be contrasts, comparisons, progressions, or otherwise. Select these for paragraph study. You'll create a chart to summarize your study of these paragraphs. So select a general title for your chart, which reflects the relationship of the paragraphs or the subject which they concern. The chart will also include the paragraph titles and divisions made during the chapter study. Record on the chart the book, chapter, and paragraph studied, and use margins of the chart to make observations and applications. Then in step four, create a paragraph outline. So use the chart to help you create an outline of the paragraphs. The outlines you create on chapters and paragraphs will help you as you share God's truth with others because they help you present what you've learned in an orderly way. So, as an example of study, step one, do a chapter study. A chapter study of Jude 1 was done in the previous lesson, so we'll do one paragraph study from the same chapter so you'll already have completed step one. Step two, go ahead and observe the details. As the paragraph of Jude 1 was studied in depth, relationships emerged between paragraphs 4, 8, 10, 16, 17, 18, and 19. These paragraphs all list characteristics of false teachers. And step number three, create a paragraph study chart. So in previous chapters, we provided a blank chart for your studies. For paragraph studies, you will draw your own chart because it's not possible to determine the proper space to leave up on a chart for paragraph studies. This is the reason why you did not create a standard form. Some paragraphs are very detailed and require more space for study notes. An example of a paragraph study chart follows below in your book. So use this example to create your own study chart and be sure to put the verse numbers of each paragraph in the paragraph block. And you want to also note that the number in the upper left of each block division on the chart. So as you look here in your book, you'll see how it's laid out. So here's what the paragraph outline would look like. And it's going to be on characteristics of false teachers. Roman numeral number one is their background. Point A, before of old ordained to this condemnation. Roman numeral number two, their walk. Point number A, they crept in unawares. Point number B, walking after their own lusts. And point C, walking after their own ungodly lusts. Roman number three, their talk. Point A, speak evil of dignities. Point B, speak evil of things they know not. Point C, murmurers. Point D, complainers. Point E, mouths speak great swelling words. And point F, mockers. Roman numeral number four, their doctrine. Point A, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Point B, deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And point number C, have not the Spirit. Roman numerals number five, their conduct. Point A, ungodly. Point B, filthy dreamers. Point C, defile the flesh. Point D, sensual. Point E, separate themselves. Point F, corrupt natural knowledge. Point G, despise dominion. And point H, partiality based on position of men. So there we have it for lesson number 13. So go ahead and do your chapter self-tests and then join us for the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.